Welcome to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a national dialogue on homelessness and poverty in America. The toll-free call-in number for this broadcast is 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's the word nobody, followed by the number 8. If you are homeless, formerly homeless, or afraid you're about to be homeless, you may also call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. What do you think about homelessness and homeless people? Who do you blame for our current homelessness crisis? Where can we get the money to solve the problem, and what is the solution anyway? Honorable people can disagree on how to handle homelessness, but are our politicians honorable to begin with? We'll discuss these questions or anything else that's on your mind during an open mic hour right after this break.
Street Poetry. Poverty Is by K. Pedler Bridges, printed in Spare Change, the homeless paper of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Poverty is incredible. It's incredulous. It's having no credit. It's having no voice. It's blank stares. It's wearing someone else's shoes, and they don't fit. It's no zipper in your coat, no faith in yourself. Poverty is dead phone lines, cold rooms of promised heat, cars without wheels, friends that don't call. Poverty is eyeglasses that don't help to see, pockets with holes, dirty socks, keys that don't fit anything. Poverty is crossing the street when you see old friends. It's old friends crossing the street when they see you. It's filling out forms that get you nothing or nowhere. It's lonely nights, constant interrogation. It's knowing everyone you talk to gets paid, and you don't, and they think you're worth nothing, and in it for a free ride. Poverty is incredulous. It's incredible. It's you hating salesmen. It's you hating counter ladies. It's you hating store clerks and all of them hating you right back. Poverty is letters and forms about you, but nobody writing to you. Poverty is your clothes 2 days past dirty and knowing you're going to have to wear them 2 more. It's dirty sheets when you get sheets. It's heating grates that don't give no heat. It's light bulbs that don't give no light. It's a dollar late and, yes, a day short. It's being told, that don't count in your case. It's doors that won't open. It's windows that won't shut. It's not being able to live in the town you grew up in. It's not being in the book. It's no legal address. It's being stuck in a line that never moves. But it don't matter. You got no business anyway. Poverty is incredible. It's incredulous. It's like being the word ain't. The Wonder by Jungle Cat. Printed in Street Roots, the homeless paper of Portland, Oregon. I'm not mentally ill. I'm a space-age person. I need to be about my agenda. The sun came into my room yesterday with incandescent light. It knew me. Help me, Central Sun. Bring me out of madness into the light so I can share the wonder of the stars. Dandelions by Buddy B. Anthony, printed in Street Roots, the homeless paper of Portland, Oregon. You who garden and weed us out, we come back to you and back again like an arch-villain long hair versus a military skull sculpture specialist. What with your weed be gone and fancy I have arrived riding mowers, I mock your feverish efforts to zone us out. We belong here and bring you spores by the scores against your best blockade by lawn patrol, beauty police, as you attack our island paradise, standing alone against a vast sea of insipid green grass. Shunned still by the permanent press set which occupies our neighborhoods, we hunker down, moving stealthily to the next squared-off unit of virgin territory. Hobo synthesis on to the next dull, fertile battleground to do our bidding. greedy to pull at my roots like a Saturday night sin, then as if you had really made the world a better place. You toss my suffocating blossoms into black impersonal mulch bags. Did you know I can cop a superfine thick rich layer of compost at the city dump where my cousins, sisters, and brothers lie in wait, patiently in exile? We keep going and growing in number. Through sheer will and ingenuity we persevere, expectant of your imminent arrival. This and only this keeps us hungry for the kill, our leaves razor sharp.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Nobody, and welcome back to the Homelessness Marathon live here from Fresno, California, outside the Mexican-American Baptist Church. We're going to have another open mic hour, and we're going to discuss whatever is on your mind. And I'm going to be talking here while we're taking calls and talking to y'all. I'm going to be talking to my buddy Indio. Indio is the editor of Street News, which is the homeless paper of New York City. Indio, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
I ain't got nobody. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, I'm no longer the editor. I'm the publisher.
Oh, well, okay. Then I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about you doing anything with my deathless prose.
Elementary.
Who is the editor now?
Yours truly.
Oh, so you are both the editor and the publisher.
Guilty as charged, sir.
Have you been able to listen to the Homelessness Marathon in New York tonight?
No.
It has not been on?
I couldn't get it.
That's interesting. Okay, I don't know what happened there, so we were supposed to be on, but that's something that will be in the post-mortem. We'll find out about that.
Yeah, it could be... I'm in Staten Island.
Oh, that may be why. The signal may not reach you out there.
Right, right.
I see. That may be it. All right. Well, those numbers to call in here on the Homelessness Marathon are 877-NOBODY-8. That's 877-662-6398. Or 866-LEFT-OUT. 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Oh, I'm being told we are on in New York City, and the only reason that you couldn't hear is it must be because the signal doesn't penetrate to Staten Island, Indio. Indio, of course, you have a new administration there. It's been a while since I've talked to you about this. You have the Bloomberg administration, and it's very different from the life under Giuliani. What can you tell us about the Bloomberg approach to homelessness?
The only thing that's changed, and... I take my hat off to him. Recently, he just has a homeless shelter for vets, and he's going to be getting them apartments. That's the latest thing that just came out. Now, the hidden agenda is to get rid of us, because New York is the largest city in the world, and he thinks money. Mm-hmm. He has a hidden agenda. He's a little bit more blasé and suave with his procedures, but it's this SOS, the same old sugar. I'll be polite.
Thank you.
There's more homelessness happening, but they have us in the trenches, and they have this myth of taking account of how many homeless people are around. Now, they do it in the same month every year, so it's padded. It's corrupt. It's not giving a true evaluation of the homeless here, but they're trying to make New York seem as it's the best place in the world to go, and we don't have any lowers. That's it in a nutshell, but we're still finding it. We're keeping the faith, but the whole thing is, you know, we have the governments trying to keep the war going to cut down on all the so-called gifts that they can give us, but they're taking the money and they're giving it to the upper uppers. It's the same old sugar. It hasn't changed. It's just a new disguise. same people with a new agenda and another little blase of putting it to the people. Mr. Bloomberg graduated from Fordham like I did, and he has more money, of course, and he gets what he wants because money talks and BS walks.
Well, let me tell you, if I thought you had as much money as he has, we'd be having a whole different conversation.
You know it.
Okay,
you
know well, it. Listen, we'll come
this
back.
It's not
to...
over. We're moving up.
Yep.
We'll the point come... is, you can't give up. You have to keep the faith. So I'm like a 68-year-old veteran in the war. We're all vets.
Okay, hang on a minute, Indio, because we'll come back to this. But this is an open mic hour. We got someone on the line. The number to call in again is 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. We have Skip from Olympia, Washington. Welcome to the Homelessness Marathon, Skip.
Well, I agree about the sugar. You know, we've seen that before. It would seem to me that we do all have to work together to solve these problems.
Well, I'm certainly willing to agree with that, and I probably am more skeptical than most about what's the big... True, Bush is a terrible president, but I think that Clinton did a lot of damage, too. I think when you talk about same old sugar, I'm not seeing such a big difference in a lot of areas.
No, the problems are... it would seem they're more inherent to me than that. If you have, 1% of the population having 90% of the wealth, then the economy will not be fostered. You have to spread the money out amongst the bottom part of the economy in order for it to function properly. And it would seem that someone would be able to figure that out.
Yeah, you would hope.
But the whole thing is we're playing the same old kid games called King of the Hill.
Yeah, it would seem that that's the best way to run a good society.
No question.
Let me remind people, by the way, that if you go to the Homelessness Marathon website at www.homelessnessmarathon.org, you will see a video. Actually, it's a video of me sitting here speaking, but you can see kind of what it looks like here, where it's getting colder here in Fresno. It's not cold by Eastern standards, but it is getting a bit colder. And I'm not sure I'm really worth going to the website to look at, but we do have video of what's going on here on the site. Skip, are you associated or are you aware of the tent city that they just put up in Olympia, Washington?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I'm a baker here in town, and I've been, I've been trying to help out our homeless folks for a long, long time. And hearing everybody talk tonight, I'm going to redouble my efforts. I'm going to work harder.
I'm glad to hear that.
That's the way to do.
What else can we do?
Yeah. Those numbers to call in again are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Well, Skip, what is the sentiment? Because we've heard from some of the tent city folks in Olympia, but you're the first chance I've had in one of my hours to talk to, I don't know if I want to use the word, an ordinary citizen, because you're a concerned, let's say a concerned citizen from Olympia, Washington. What is the attitude in Olympia towards the tent city people?
Well... in the paper, it's factual. I mean, they pretty much put it forward. I think the problems of homelessness are the same in every city. I don't think that Olympia is unique in any way. I mean, I think that the pressures that start pushing on everybody from homelessness add up. And the problems of space, having a place that's affordable to be able to live is something that is critical that we take care of, as well as health care. And when our attention is diverted and we're putting all of our resources in places that could very well be just a hole, seems kind of crazy.
Do you perceive sympathy at all? I mean, among the people you talk to for the tent city, and for anybody who's tuning in and doesn't know, a group of poor people, homeless people in Olympia, Washington have set up a kind of wildcat tent city, and they're fighting for their rights to be able to house themselves the best they can. Do the people you know, are they sympathetic? Do they say, oh, those bums, let's get them out of there? Or do they say, I understand why they need to do this because they're not getting any help?
If some people say that, and other people, they're closer and they understand why the people are there, and depends on the person.
Is it still a somewhat cloudy situation there, would you say?
cloudy.
I mean, in the sense that
the people don't have a place to live. What do you mean cloudy?
Well, I mean in the sense that has the information about what's really going on really reached the people yet, in that sense? Do they really know what's going on?
Oh, no, no. People carry on just like it's any other day.
I see.
Of course, that's homelessness. That's what homelessness is. It's invisible amongst us.
Right.
What do you mean? Is everybody stopping and saying, oh, there's a tent city? No. Everybody has to get to work.
Yep, I hear you. I hear
Can
you.
Can I throw something out?
Let's go. Let's hear it, Indio.
Yes. All right. We have a game plan. We want to form a homeless reservation. And the way we're going to do it is putting our money together and we're going to buy the land. After we buy the land, then we're going to go around and try to get trailers to be donated to be put on the land. And anybody can come there. They don't have to have ID, Social Security, or anything. We're working right now near Woodstock, and the main game plan is to have it started in Pennsylvania. It's a long process, but it'll be our land. It'll be run by the people, for the people, by the people. And we want to set up a organization and a plant with housing, and everyone will be able to work there and make a living and become partners.
Well, certainly we need safe places to be homeless. You know, back in the days of the frontier, you could just go into the woods and build yourself a little shack, but you can't do that in America anymore. You need a place where you can go.
No, the answer is money, honey.
Yeah, I know.
That's the whole deal.
Skip, you got a last comment before I move along?
I thank you very much for the conversation.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. It was good talking
with
you.
Keep the faith, brother.
Those numbers to call in again are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Rick from San Jose, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon. Do I have Rick? Rick, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Rick.
Is that better now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
It's not too good a connection, but let's go for it. Rick, you're a homeless person. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a 58-year-old bipolar mental health patient, and I worked all my life, and I have a community resource for my mental health medicine and my doctor and all that I searched out on my own. Before I became homeless, you know, I've been homeless about 3.5 years now, and that's the whole story how I got homeless. I was set up by the cops, and the cops have been hassling me ever since. And you know, it's like Reagan, when he was governor here, he started taking away all the healthcare facilities and all the resources for aid to people that had difficulties, and you know, it closed all the mental institutions and made all these outreach places, and then they closed those eventually, and it's, you know, they're just rolling everything back ever since FDR. It's all back. The last 50 years are gone now because of the Republican regimes of Reagan and Bush's, and we're all getting buried in the traffic. I mean, I'm a 58-year-old guy. I worked all my life. I got a college-graduated son who's a computer engineer. And I'm living in the back of a truck with a blown-up motor. You know? Mm-hmm. In the richest country in the world.
I hear you. You know? Have you tried to get help, Rick?
What's that?
Have you tried to get help?
To get a home?
To get help. Have you gone to the welfare office?
Oh, well, no, I'm on disability. I'm on federal disability.
Well, then let me ask you a question, Rick. And Indio, you can jump in a second, but let me ask you this question.
Sure.
You are on SSI, Rick?
Yeah, SSDI, yeah.
Okay, and how much money does the government give you for your disability? You've been, obviously, you had to prove it.
$950 a month.
How much?
$950 a month.
That's more than the SSI get. And you can't get housing in San Jose, which I know is a very expensive city. You cannot get housing for that amount of money?
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. What is a What does a studio in San Jose cost?
Gas and food, you know.
What's that?
And what do you use for gas and food and medicine?
Can you tell the listeners, what does a studio apartment, a cheap studio in San Jose cost today?
$600.
So if
that's the bottom trashiest place.
So if you spent $600 a month on even trashy housing, you'd only have $350 a month to live on.
I could get a room and share a house, you know, for $500 or $600 a month.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd have $400 to buy gas and eat and take care of my medicine and, you know,
And would that be enough?
No. No way in hell. It's not enough now, living in my truck. I run in the negative. I'm spending my savings.
I see.
To stay alive.
Indio, do you have a comment on that? Want to talk to Rick?
That's the slumlord. That's the whole name of the game. To keep you down. The rich get richer, the poor get poor. The ace in the hole is the homeless newspapers. As long if you sit on the backside and just cry, we're going to lose. But the homeless newspapers is a step up. I did it. And now it's a long way up, but the point is we're still moving. You got to think like the water and keep flowing. You got to go over, in, through, just don't stop. As long as we cry, they're going to say, who gives a sugar? The point is don't give up, keep the faith, and look for those homeless newspapers because there's people out there that will sympathize and they'll buy the paper.
Yeah, you're
and
talking
you got
about
Robert Norse out there. You got a lot of people who are fighting. The point is, don't give up.
Rick, go ahead.
Yeah.
Rick. What are you saying? What, Rick? What?
I'm saying that we need not sympathy for the homeless. We need a change of government and national opinion about what our priorities are. Who's telling the truth? Where our money's going? What we're doing to our old people, our injured people, our infirmed, our veterans. You know, the people out here are not out here looking for a dole. These people are sick, they're veterans, they're mentally ill, they're drug addicts. I don't have the drug addiction thing, none of that. I've been working and I have a health problem that I've taken responsibility for. And even so, I've been, you know, busted out of my house by some, you know, corrupt cops. And, you know, living on the street, and, you know, this country does not care. You know, compassionate, conservative, born-again Christian, and he still murders people by the hundreds of thousands.
Rick, why don't you stay? Rick.
Born again.
Rick, stay on the line, if you would. We got another car. Maybe we can get four people on the line here. Hang on.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So the numbers are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. Let's get to Tom from Cambridge in on this discussion. Tom, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Hello, Brother Jeremy. This is Tom Baldwin from Cambridge. I haven't spoken with you or Indio for a while, so I wanted to
call. How you doing, Tom, my brother?
Join the conversation.
I'm very glad to be talking. I've tried to reach you, and I haven't been able to, so I hope you'll send me an email after the show or something where you are.
I've been offline, and I just spent 6 months as a homeless house guest after heart surgery, congestive heart failure, and just got housing for the first time in January with a $400 a month SSDI check. So it's a great miracle to be alive.
Congratulations, my brother.
Yeah.
You know, and so work, I'll have to be doing volunteering because I won't be working for probably again as far as being an employee. And
but you
I
still
also,
know how to write.
Say it again?
You still know how to write.
Yes, that's absolutely true, my brother. Absolutely.
So send them to me. Send the articles to me because we need your voice 24/7.
I certainly appreciate that, and the voices that are projected through this show continue to amaze me 10 years in a row. So thank you, Jeremy, for your role in that. I also wanted to pass on some news of the death of a very important activist, Eric Weinberger of Food Not Bomb, who free meals, was the elder of Food Not Bombs in Boston, died in his mid-70s and December 15th.
Right.
Well, that is sad news indeed.
It is. He he had spent his whole life as a pacifist organizing for social justice. He fasted for 32 days in 1962 in Alabama over police brutality during the civil rights campaigns, marched with King, pissed off Abby Hoffman because he was a pacifist, Eric himself, and Abby was not, and spent his life very, very humbly serving the poorest of the poor and speaking out for social justice. So we'll miss him.
Sorry to hear it. Tom, I'd like you to address something to Rick, because let me give out those numbers again, 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT-OUT. I really want to highlight the way this is a national problem, and San Jose and Cambridge are sort of similar in that they're both very expensive to live in. Have you ever heard a story like Rick's before where he does get SSDI, but he doesn't have enough money really for housing? Does that happen in Cambridge too?
Well, you could take me for an example. My SSDI check would never cover for market rent in Cambridge. And I had essentially nearly died, spent about 45 days in the hospital, and still could not get housing. So you can be terribly sick and still not get housing in this town. I feel utterly lucky. I was refused basically my first attempt for subsidized housing, despite that, despite my heart failure. And now I'm looking out a window and feeling incredibly happy that I got housing. But there's still a lot of people out there who don't have it. The high rents and the low wages are a key to homelessness for a huge hunk of the people here. Even if personal problems such as addiction or emotional stress play a role, we'd never have so many people on the street if we had affordable rents and a living wage.
Tom, may I ask how much your SSDI pays? Rick is getting $950. What are you getting?
Yes. I did a lot of part-time work, so I think that might be why I only get $409 a month for SSDI. There might be another supplement to that, I guess, SSI retirement, that might give me another $300 or so, but that hasn't come through.
Well, let me ask Rick about that. Rick, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. Did you work full-time? Did you have a good income at one point? Is that why you're getting more?
I worked. I had a good income when I worked, but due to the mental health problem and that I was a carpenter all my life, I get about 6 months a year due to, the seasonal of the work and that I would get burnt out because of my mental health that I hadn't, totally come to terms with yet. I was working on it, Mm-hmm. So anyway, I worked all my life and I did all right, and I did okay. I mean, I was a upstanding, a hard working, law abiding guy all my life, and my dad was a lawyer, and I grew up, upper middle class, and we used to see guys walking by with shopping carts and go, "There but for the grace of God go I." And although I believed it and felt for the people I saw, I never really believed I would be one of them.
I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot on this show, that's for sure. Indio, you're facing, I know you have faced over the years some health problems. Have you tried to get SSI or SSDI, or is your...
I'm getting SSI. Mm-hmm. Now, I get $1,161.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
for that.
I was an investigator for child abuse. I was a school teacher. I mean, I have three masters from Fordham and a doctorate in theology. I worked the majority of my life, but I was also incarcerated with Gordon Liddy, and it's a whole lot of things.
The ELN jail.
Yeah.
I hear that, bro.
The thing I'm trying to say is, with my check alone, my rent is $800. I have to pay for water, gas, and electric. So if I just made it with...